If you have your Bible, open your Bible to John chapter 17. As we prepare to take the Lord's table this morning, we are going to look at John chapter 17. This is one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. In this chapter, we get a detailed glimpse into the Holy of Holies. Jesus, in the previous chapters of John, has been speaking with his disciples. And at this time, he turns his gaze away from his disciples, and he turns his gaze heavenward to his heavenly Father. I recently heard that John Knox, as he laid on his deathbed, asked his wife to read this chapter over and over and over again. It was a glimpse of communication going on within the Godhead as Jesus prays to the Father. Nowhere in Scripture do we get a more detailed account of Jesus praying to his Father. It is a glorious section of Scripture for sure. And this morning we're going to look at the first five verses as we prepare our hearts to take the Lord's table together. John chapter 17 verses 1 through 5 say, Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus starts this prayer stating that the hour has come. No more sobering statement and no more sobering hour has ever existed in all time than this hour of which Jesus speaks. All of history since the fall has been moving toward this hour, and all of humanity and creation from this hour looks back to this hour in praise and worship and adoration. Jesus' very purpose for becoming a man was for this hour. It was for this hour where the sinless one would become sin. He would take upon himself the sin for all who would for all time believe in him. For all who would place their trust in Jesus, for all who would repent of their sins and follow Christ as their Lord and Savior, for all time, he, at this hour, would absorb the wrath of God for them. And the central theme, the central force of this prayer, as this hour approaches, the supreme passion that is on Jesus' heart, the theme and force of Jesus' heart itself, is for the glory of God. Jesus is walking into the darkest hour of all human history, and his mind, his heart, his passion is for the glory of God. And Jesus prays, glorify your Son, but for one purpose does he pray that the Father would glorify the Son, and it is for this, he says it, so that the Son may glorify you. Jesus was most concerned with the Father's glory. And I want you to see this. He was most concerned with the Father's glory at his darkest hour. How about you? What are you most concerned with? When you hit rush hour traffic and you need to be somewhere quickly, what are you most concerned with? When your child doesn't do what you've asked them to, what are you most concerned with? When your boss has an unreasonable request, when your spouse sins against you, when you find out that you or a loved one has a disease, a sickness, what are you most concerned with? Jesus, at his darkest hour, prays for the Father to glorify the Son so that God would be glorified, God the Father. At one time, we wanted nothing to do with the glory of God. Isn't that right? Before God saved us, all we wanted to do was to suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness. And yet that all changed when Jesus was concerned with the glory of the Father. Because Jesus was concerned with the glory of the Father, that all changed because he went to the cross. He did the work that the Father had for him to do in redeeming those whom the Father had given him. And because of that, we now too can have a supreme passion for the glory of God because of Jesus. That is good news. Jesus was concerned with the Father's glory to the point of laying down his life, and we too now can be concerned with the Father's glory. This is great. This is great news. Jesus, having authority over all flesh, grants eternal life to those the Father gave him. And again, all of this is for the glory of the Father. Jesus grants eternal life to all whom the Father has given him. And he tells us what eternal life is. Eternal life is this, that they may know you, the one true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, because he was concerned with the Father's glory, entered into the darkest hour where he did the work that God had called him to do, and because of that, we too now experience joy with the Father and can give glory to him because of the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know the Father is to know the Son, and no one can know the Son without knowing the Father. It is a package deal, and this is what God grants to all who will repent of their sins and believe in him. You see, what we get most in our salvation is God himself. Eternal life, knowing God. And we get to know him in an intimate way, a unique way, a special way. To know God is not merely to know about God only in your head. It's to know God in your heart. To experience God redemptively in your heart. It's to enter into a personal relationship with God. It is a relationship that is characterized by devotion and love. It's a relationship that is only entered into because of Jesus. We could not enter into this kind of a relationship with God if it were not for our Savior shedding his blood, doing the work that the Father had for him to do. This is why Jesus is going to the cross. This is why Jesus came to earth. This is why he accomplished the work the Father gave him to do, so that he could redeem those who could not redeem themselves. And in so doing, put on display the glory of God. Does this describe you? Have you experienced this? Have you experienced this new life and this reconciliation to the Father? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus? If so, you should participate with us as we take the Lord's table together. You should participate with us as we take the bread and we remember Jesus as he laid down his life and his body was crushed. Have you experienced Jesus in this way? If you have, then you should participate with us as we take the juice and remember Jesus' blood that was shed on our behalf. If you are in Christ, you are purchased by his blood. And whether you had the best, most holy week this last week, or if you had a week that was your biggest struggle since you've repented and believed in Christ, you should still take and remember the blood of Christ that reconciled you to God. It is only because of him that you would have such a great week, and it is only because of him that though you may have not had a good week, you are still reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. And so take and remember our wonderful Savior who did not shy away from the darkest hour. He did not shy away from the cross, but he went to the cross and he endured horrible pain and horrible, terrifying, just wrath from God so that we wouldn't have to. This is a sobering and yet joyful time if you are in Christ to remember our Lord and Savior. If you don't believe, if you have not experienced eternal life, if you don't know God, if you don't know the one whom he sent, do so now. I would plead with you, don't delay. If maybe God has been tugging on your heart, if you've been hearing of this gospel of which I've spoken, and you've been teetering, maybe I should, maybe I should, I'm just not sure, just can't connect all the dots. Repent now, believe, don't wait. Experience eternal life today as you know God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. And if you would do that, then we invite you, take and remember Jesus' body that was crushed and remember his blood that was poured out. But if you will not, if you yet again would harden your heart to these truths, to these realities, then we would ask you to pass the bread and the cup by. But don't delay. Repent and believe and follow Christ. That would be our plea. So the men are going to come forward and they're going to pass out the trays with the bread and the juice and take one and when your heart is prepared, take, and then we will pray together.